sometimes hard to understand. But we ask, Lord, that you would help us through your Spirit, not only to understand your word this morning, but to apply it to our hearts and to our lives, that your word would go forth and accomplish its purpose in each of our lives, that we might, Lord, walk away different people from having heard your word and listened to what you had for us this morning. Work that faith in us through your Spirit this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is faith as we approach this Holy Week? Today is Palm Sunday as we hear the crowd saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us, please. We need salvation. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem on this day, we think about our faith. And faith comes in many ways, right? We each have faith every day. You, this morning, had faith when you came to church. As you got in your car, you believed that that car would get you here. You believed the engineers who made it would actually work and get you here safely. And when you walked in these doors and sat in these chairs, you had faith that that chair would support you. Somebody engineered it to support your weight, right? Somebody built it and put it together correctly, hopefully, so that when you sat in that chair, it wouldn't just collapse, right? And some of you had more faith than others. Some of you very tentatively sat down in your chair, right? Some of you just threw yourself down in the chair. Great faith, that chair will support me, no problem. Faith. As you go to school and go to work, you have faith that your employers will give you a paycheck, right, at the end of your pay period, right? At school, you work hard in school, right? And you trust that those teachers are going to give you a good grade for all that hard work you put in. You believe it, you have faith. Every day of our lives, we live by faith. But here, we're seeing a little different idea of faith. This is faith in God. Faith in who he is and what he has done in our lives. And each of us, if we believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, are at different points in that journey of faith. Some younger ones here, preschool, kindergarten, grade school maybe, kind of at that early stage of their journey of faith, believing, trusting, that faith of a child that is pure and innocent, that many of us adults could learn quite a bit from these innocent children, believing that Jesus died for them without any question. They believe. Or maybe you're in high school or college and you have this curious faith. Your hard questions. What's going on? What's the world all about? Why did God put me here? That curious faith, it's expanding its horizons and growing to see what God is doing in their hearts and their lives as you're at that stage. Or maybe you're in your career, right? You're working hard. That working point in your journey of faith, or in your golden years, retired. These different points in this journey that each of us have, each of us here has in that journey of faith, looking forward to being with the Lord, ultimately. That's what that faith has in store for itself. Well, the Heidelberg Catechism talks a little bit about faith in question and answer 21. It says, what is true faith? Heidelberg Catechism is always good to give us an answer, right? So here's what Heidelberg Catechism tells us. What is true faith? True faith is a sure knowledge whereby I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. At the same time, it is a firm confidence, not only for others, but also for me, that God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merit. And this faith The Holy Spirit works in my heart by the gospel. And hopefully that's why you're here this morning. The Holy Spirit is with us, causing your faith to grow as you hear the gospel even this morning. It's a great answer to that question, what is faith? It's that sure knowledge, that firm confidence that we can have only through Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to your heart and to your soul and to mine this morning. We're going to look at three aspects of what is faith this morning. It's first of all, hopeful, it's commendable, and also it has a vision that's unseen. So it's hopeful. It is a sure hope. Your faith is a sure hope. Well, years ago, Benjamin Franklin is noted for saying this. What are the things that are certain in life? Things that you can be sure of, right? What was his famous quote? Death and taxes. That's right. That's this week, right? So don't forget the tax part of that. But death and taxes, right? That's a famous quote. It's all you can really be certain of in this life. And he wrote that when he was pretty old. He was 83 when he wrote it. He wrote it actually in French to another scientist. And it happened to be ironic that he died the next year, Benjamin Franklin. He wasn't the first to say those words, but he's most notably quoted for that. He got to see that death was in store for him, as it is for all of us. That is sure. What else are you sure of in this life? What do you know that is sure? Abraham knew and believed and trusted in God, so much so that he believed the promises, that he got up and moved, right? It wasn't just faith saying, I believe you, Lord, do your thing. He got up and he moved. Lot got the good land and he took what was left over. Happened to be the promised land, right? But that he had action behind his faith. He didn't just say, thank you, Lord, and you can do what you want to do. He actually did something. Abel, in the verses just after our verses, says, by faith, verse 4, Abel offered a God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith he was commended. He had faith. He believed that God deserved his best. He believed so much so that he gave his best in his sacrifice. He didn't withhold like Cain and give him just kind of the leftovers. He gave him his best because God deserved his best. He believed in God. He believed God's word, and he sacrificed accordingly. Moses, another great man of faith, we see later in the chapter as it goes through the heroes of the faith. Let me read a couple verses later in chapter 11, verses 24 and following. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now, those are great words. Moses, he believed, and he had action because of it. He didn't stay in Egypt and become a prince and enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a short time. The pleasures of sin are very short. I don't know if you've seen that in your life. Moses knew that. Doesn't say there's no pleasure in sin, does it? Sin can have pleasure, but it's very short-lived. And he gave that up because he looked forward to a reward that was far greater. He knew there was a reward far greater. And he couldn't wait to get to it. So he gave all that up. He trusted in God because he had a sure hope in what God was going to do. Well, what do you hope for this morning? What is your hope? What do you got in your bucket list, maybe, right, of hope? What do you want to do? Maybe you want to graduate someday, right? Look forward to that, graduation, get a diploma. It's a big deal. You get presents. It's great. It's a great deal. It's a big deal, right? Graduation, maybe retirement. Maybe that's what you're looking forward to. Someday, I'm going to retire. Then I'll do all those things, right? I hope. I don't know. Maybe it's a vacation you have planned. Can't wait. We're going to go do this and do that. And we're going to have a great time. Is that what you hope for? Maybe to get your home paid off. Wouldn't that be great? You hope. You pay every month and mortgage gets, I don't know if it gets smaller or bigger. Sometimes it doesn't. It's hard to tell what the mortgage is doing. Or maybe you hope your health will be good. You work out, you eat healthy, right? I want to be healthy. I hope that I'll live long and be healthy and be able to do things, climb mountains, whatever it is. Go on vacations. I don't know what you have planned, but maybe you hope your health is good. Maybe your hope is to go to heaven for an eternity. Maybe that's your hope. But what are these hopes based on, right? I mean, if I graduate, is it just based on my mind, my intellect? Is my retirement just based on my savings that I'm piddling away? What are these things based on? Heaven. What is heaven based on? Is it based on your good works? I'm not a bad person. I haven't killed anybody, right? I'm okay. I'm a good guy. I even came to church. Lord, you owe me something, right? I'm sitting in this pew. Listen to this guy. You got to give me something here, Lord, right? You have no idea how hard it is to listen to this guy. Give me something, right? Give me something. I deserve it. You think? I deserve something here, Lord. Look at all I've done for you. Paul was talking about in Sunday school this morning. What do we deserve, right? Got that sin. Well, ultimately, all you really deserve is hell. That's all you really bring to the table, to the Lord, that you give him in your offering. Here's my sin, Lord. That's all I got. The wages of which is, we heard already, death. What is your hope based on? How sure is your hope? Is it based on yourself? Is it based on your intellect? Is it based on your bank account? What is your hope based on? Or is it based on Christ? Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the colt, a foal of a donkey, riding into Jerusalem to die a torturous death, not for his sins, because he was perfect. He died your death for your sins on the cross. If you believe, if you trust in him, Hosanna, save us, because we all deserve the wages of our sin. How sure is your hope? The next point is faith is commendable. It's a great commendation. What is a commendation? It's kind of a big word. What's going on? What's a recognition, right? A recognition of accomplishment, a praise, well done, a pat on the back. I commend you. Good job. Way to go. And it says it in our verses right here. This is what the ancients were commended for. They believed. They trusted. And he goes through in chapter 11 of some pretty horrendous events going on to these heroes of the faith that they were commended for. Getting sawed in two, right? That's always fun. Getting stoned, to death. Yeah, they believed. It cost them their lives. But they were commended. Well done. A history of commendations. Abraham believed. It was credited to him as righteousness. He was commended for his faith and his actions behind that faith. Thomas in the New Testament, as he doubted, right? He's noted for doubting. I won't believe. Unless I see him, I won't believe. And then what does Jesus do? He shows himself. Here, put your fingers right in the holes. Stop doubting and believe. And he says, my Lord and my God. And he was commended for his faith. He believed. And we don't know whether he actually put his fingers in the holes or not. But he trusted. He believed. He saw his Lord. And he trusted him. And he was commended for his faith. The woman that was bleeding for 12 years in Luke 8 touched the cloak of Jesus. And he felt the power of healing come from his cloak. And it healed her. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And he stopped, right? And he looked at her and your faith has made you well. She believed so much. All she had to do was touch the cloak of Jesus. That's some faith, right? All you got to do is just, that's all we need. We don't need a lot, Lord. Just touch your cloak. And we're healed. That's all we need. Your faith has made you well. She was commended for her faith to reach out and touch Jesus' cloak. Have you been commended for your faith? Do you have faith? What does your faith do? James says, faith without works is dead. What does your faith do? Commended. Commended for believing. Believing in God and not in yourself, not in your own intellect, but trusting in Him alone. Made me think of Paul and Lois, actually, as they, over 50 years ago, looked at an advertisement. Now think about this. I love thinking about it for some reason. They saw this advertisement in a Christian Reformed periodical called The Banner. And it said, I don't know what it said. Do you want to move or something? You know, come to the Tri-Cities, right? Come to the Tri-Cities. They're all the way in Michigan, thousands of miles away. They see this advertisement. They pray about it. They pile up 4 kids and a bunch of stuff. And they drive all the way across the country. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool faith, right? They've been here ever since. Well, you kind of went everywhere else in between, but you're still here, right? Faith with action behind it. You're commended for your faith. Are you commended for your faith? You know, God doesn't call those who are qualified. Think about that. God doesn't call us if we have certain education and status. He doesn't call those who are so qualified. Now I can use you. You're usable now if you're qualified enough. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those who are called. He used a donkey, right? Balaam's donkey, you remember that maybe? I don't know. If he used a donkey, he can use me. He can use you, right? If you believe and trust in him, he can do amazing things through you if you trust in him. God used heroes of the faith, but he can use you too as you trust in him. There were some verses prior to our text in Hebrews that talks about these people that believed and what did they do. And I wanted to read this to you from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, where it says, You sympathize with those in prison. And get this, you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Joyfully, right? Joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew you had, that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession and treasure. These people knew that their home wasn't here. Their home was somewhere else. And they joyfully accepted the confiscation of their property. I don't know if you saw that. I'm trying to imagine that. Joyfully accepting. Here, Lord, take the property. Take it. I want nothing for it. Because I have a home that'll just blow that away. They joyfully accepted. These are people of faith. This is who God wants you and I to be. People of faith, joyfully accepting whatever he brings your way and my way, that he can use us for his kingdom. Well, the third point is it's unseen vision. I know that might seem like double talk, right? Come on now, you're kind of being tricky here. What's going on? This faith, it has knowledge, it has understanding. I mean, people today in our society think Christians just believe like nothing. They don't even think about it. But this is faith with knowledge. Did you see? It has understanding. Christians think more about the world around them than anyone else. They've thought about it and come to the conclusion there has to be a God. This is faith to see the unseen. Do you have eyes to see the unseen? Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities," you got that? "God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. The day of judgment is going to come for each of us. And it's clear. God's invisible qualities are clearly seen. Without excuse. I don't know if you remember back in the 90s. Some of you probably weren't born then. But they came out with this, I don't even know how to describe it hardly. It's called Magic Eye. Have you ever seen those things? It's a computer program that you can't even see what's going on. But then if you look at it more deeply and you relax your eyes, these 3D images kind of come out. If you can see them, can you see them? A lot of people can't see them, but it was a thing in the 90s. And you can still look it up today. This Magic Eye. Some people can see it. And some people can't. It's kind of hard to see. You don't see it initially on the surface. But if you look deeper, you can see those images. And they pop out at you. It's kind of crazy 3D. It's all computers. I don't know how to. But it's seeing the unseen. It's not in there, but it is in there. If you spend enough time to look. Glasses of faith to see the unseen. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's more than just you and me. There is a battle. There is a world around us. A spiritual world. If you look harder, deeper, you can see it. Now, if I tell you, I believe that Mount Rainier exists, and you come to me and say, how do you know? How do you know Mount Rainier really exists? Even if you've been to the top of Mount Rainier, maybe he has greater faith than me, those who've actually climbed it. But I say, I've seen it. I've seen Mount Rainier. I believe it exists. And you'll probably go, it sounds logical. That's Is that enough evidence? Do I need to climb it to actually know it exists? I believe it exists, and I've seen it. And maybe you think that's okay. All right, that's good enough. Mount Rainier does exist. Okay. But there's more. As I look at Mount Rainier, I've been there many times, I feel so small. I know it exists, and I know there's something behind Mount Rainier that put it there. I don't think it was you, and I don't think it was me. I know it wasn't me. But something, somebody put Mount Rainier there. There is an origin, a creator. When I look at it, it's way bigger than me. Where is the origin? Where is the creator? You can see it if you look hard. It's there. There's evidence. There's knowledge behind this faith to see the creator behind it. Can you see it? Do you see the creator in everything? Or do you just see stuff? It's easy to see just stuff in the world. The problems that you have, the bills, the stress of life, whatever it might be, trying to get ahead. Think of Peter as he was walking on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out. And he was okay for a little while. And then he started looking around him and he saw these waves and the wind. And he started sinking. And he's like, oh no, what's going on? He took his eyes off of Christ and started looking at everything else. And he started sinking. And I guess that's why we need help in our faith, right? We need fellowship of the saints to encourage us in our faith. Eyes of faith. What do you see? Do you see God all over the place? Do you see his fingerprints on everything? Can you see God's fingerprints in the world around you? You see it in the trees. You see it in the river. You see it in the mountains, the sky. You see it in yourself and in others. Can you see the fingerprints of God? He's there. He made it all. And that's faith, but it's faith with evidence. And that really is what our text says. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, but certain of what we do not see. It's the evidence of what we do not see is a better interpretation of that verse. It is evidence, because you look later in verse 3, it says, by faith we understand. This faith has knowledge and understanding to see the world around. Even though there is an unseen maker who created it all, you can see him. There's evidence all around. There's fingerprints. There is his touch. There's his signature in everything. Ex nihilo. God created everything out of something. No, not out of something. Out of nothing, he created it. Just this week, we were putting together, or trying to put together, some bunk beds over at Bar M, right? And we didn't create those out of nothing. They had all the materials right there. We had to go gather up all the materials. And we tried to put them together. We didn't have the screws to put them together. But nonetheless, it was out of something that we were trying to build these things. But God made everything out of nothing. That's how powerful he is. And it all has his touch, his signature, his fingerprints. If you looked at the bottom of it, instead of saying, you know, made in China or Japan, it'd say made by Christ, right? Because he made it all. He made it all. He made you, and you are made in the image of God. Imago Dei, right? You are an image bearer of God himself. You have an eternal soul. It's kind of hard to imagine. You're more than a body. You get this body for a few years. Maybe even 100 years you get this body, if you take really good care of it. But these bodies don't last. Just a little blip in eternity, we get these bodies. But your soul, that's eternal. That lasts forever. It's either for eternal life in heaven or eternal death in hell. But there's an eternity for each of our souls. What do you believe and trust as you look? Can you see what is unseen? Faith is a sure trust in the unseen, loving, just, holy, and gracious God who sent his Son to die your death for your sin. And he raised him on the third day, which we'll celebrate next week, to ultimately give you eternal life. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you taste it? Your faith gives you that vision to see, to hear, to taste what is real in Christ. May God give you ears to hear and eyes to see his grace, and a tongue to taste even his grace as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, to nourish our eternal souls and our faith by means of grace this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word that is so true, that our hearts just ring true on what you have given us this morning. We pray, Lord, you would strengthen our faith, for we are weak, but through your Spirit we are strong. Help us to trust in you through thick and thin, through the difficult times, as well as the easy times, that you, Lord, would be with us every step of the way. We thank you that we can celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts even now to take these elements of being united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. Be with us, Lord. Strengthen us through this time together with comfortable hopes of eternal life through your finished work on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.